remain standing for our call to worship.
The voice of God resounds upon the water.
The Spirit of the Lord hovers over the stream.
The child of God is named Beloved.
And all who worship shout out glory.
Ascribe to God glory and honor.
Let us worship God in holy splendor.
Friends, please be seated. Good morning. Welcome to the First Congregational Church, United Church of Christ, here in Stockbridge. Friends, if you remember nothing else from our time together this morning, I want you to remember that you are fully welcome here. If you somehow manage to forget the beautiful singing of our choir, if you somehow manage to forget today's scripture readings, which I'm going to tell you right now are unbelievable, they are. If you forget everything I say in the sermon or even the hymns we sing together, remember that you are welcome here, fully and completely, just as you are, and in all the doubts you carry, in all the burdens you bear, and all the hopes you hold dear. You, each and every one of you, are welcome here, whoever you are, whomever you love, and wherever you are on life's journey. If you are new with us this morning, I invite you to fill out this form that you will find in your pew in front of you and place it in the offering basket. Those who filled them out last week know that if you've given us enough information to contact you, you know what? I will, so please do so. There are a couple of announcements that I have, and then I will open it up to the floor for your announcements. First, know that all items for the February newsletter, if you want to have something in the newsletter, please get them to Nancy Wilcox not later than next Sunday, the 20th. Second, once again, this week I'm going to hold open office drop-in times on Wednesday from 10:30 to 12:30. My promise to you is that I will never schedule a meeting in that time, or try to never schedule a meeting, so that you can drop by and share with me whatever is on your mind. And then, each and every Wednesday, I will head downtown for lunch at 12:45. In the month of January, I will be at the Main Street Cafe, and then given all of the suggestions you guys have given me, I will switch lunch spots in February. Know that come if you can, and know that there will be a space available for you, no RSVP required. I know we have some announcements, and let's start with Joyce. And I would ask that anyone who has an announcement today come forward to this microphone so that we can all hear you. Joyce, would you like to go first?
To all members of the First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, in accordance with the bylaws of the church, I hereby call the annual budget meeting of the church for Sunday, January 27, 2013, at 11 o'clock a.m. The business to be transacted is as follows: to act upon the budget for the fiscal year 2013. Joyce Hovey, clerk. Margaret Hornick, moderator.
We have been getting such great attendance during the month of January that we are going to have our regular godly play session today, and we will be looking at the prophet Jonah. So right after the Lord's Prayer, Jonah.
They have no idea what they're going to say. They just wanted to come up here with me. What am I going to talk about?
Open table.
Open table every Thursday. Open to all. We'd love to have you come. We do takeout, but we do need to know ahead, and we need containers. Secondly, This is a month of five Thursdays, the bane of my existence. So this week, it's going to be KK and John Zutter are cooks. They normally cook the first Thursday, but we've moved everything around, and they're going to be here this week. So anybody who'd like to come and help, they could always use the help setting up ahead of time. And the following week will be Service League, and then the last week of the month will be Pete Del Grande, as usual. Then we'll be back to our regular schedule.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good morning, Saints. I am unarmed today. Do you have a pesky bassoon that's underfoot in your pantry? Do you have a troublesome auto harp that keeps tumbling out of your front closet whenever you open the door? Is there a bothersome piccolo that's cluttering up your silverware drawer? We have a solution for you. The Saints Mardi Gras Band is performing on February 10th, and we're looking for a few good people who are now or have at any point in their past, loosely speaking, been musicians. We're going to be playing our greatest hit, which is When the Saints Go Marching In, and on a good day, that only has five notes. So if you'd like to know what those five notes are and play with us, come see me. Thank you.
The Women's Interfaith Institute is now meeting here at our church in Stockbridge one Wednesday evening a month, and it is this coming Wednesday. For years, they have met at the Church on the Hill in Lenox, which is no longer available, so they've come to us this year. It's a marvelous, interesting program each month with a potluck supper, and the program the evening begins at 5:45 and lasts until 8:45. There's a welcoming circle at 6, and then potluck, followed by the program, which this Wednesday they are having their annual meeting, and then a program called World Cafe. There's a notice on the bulletin board which gives more details about this, but it is about connection and conversation in our lives. So,
friends, this is a place full of life and energy, and I hope you take the chance to get involved. Once again, welcome to worship. I want to extend that welcome to one another. Now, I know in the news that there is stories of the flu being everywhere. That will not deter us from sharing the peace this morning, but I want to invite you to share that peace however you are comfortable, whether that's with a handshake, whether that's with a wave and a greeting, or whether that's with a hug. However you choose to do it, I ask you to respect how others want to do it in this time where the flu is around and we need to be mindful. Friends, let us pass the peace of Christ. It is such a big peace. We dare not keep it to ourselves in our areas. I invite you to stand and move around this room as you're able. The peace of Christ be with you.
We need a song to get them off that spirit.
Please be seated. The Hebrew scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 7, found on page 623 in your pew Bible. But now, thus says the Lord, he who creates you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Saba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight, and honored, and I love you, and I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, whom I formed and made.
I saw some kids here in church this morning, and if there are children, I invite you of whatever age to come on forward for a time together. And have a seat right here. I'm going to sit with you. Come on up. How are you this morning? Oh, that sounded good. I like that. So I have a question for you, and I have a question for everybody, and you're facing them, so you're going to see their hands too. I want everyone in this room to raise your hand if you are loved. So if someone loves you, raise your hand. I hope so. Notice every single person's hand is up there. Okay, so I'm going to ask you guys a question now. You can put your hands down. Who loves you? And who are we pointing to? Mom and Dad? Yeah, Mom and Dad loves you. Who else loves you? Yeah, who?
My dad.
Your dad loves you?
My sister.
Your sister loves you? Absolutely. Let me ask you a question. How do you know that your dad or your mom or your sister or anybody else loves you? How do you know? Yeah? Okay, so sometimes they give us great things, right? Like an Xbox 360. Yep, that is a good way to know somebody loves you. How else do you know that somebody loves you? Yeah? Well, that is true. You sleep in a bed rather than a cupboard like Harry Potter, you know that you are loved. Absolutely. Yeah? How else? Okay, you say I love you. Love is both doing things and saying things. Now, I don't know if you listened to Tom this morning when he was doing our reading, but in that reading, do you know who said that they loves that she loves us? Who? In the reading, did you hear? God. In the reading this morning, God tells us that God loves us. And what I want you to remember this morning is that God loves you no matter what you do, no matter who you are, that God loves you both now and forever, always. And what we're going to be talking about in church today while you're doing godly play is how that love helps us to be better people. So I want you to remember that God loves you no matter what. Can you do that? Can you repeat after me? God loves me no matter what? Okay, I will believe you. All right, let's go ahead and let's say a prayer so that you can get off to Sunday school. Come on up, let's hold hands together, and let's invite the church to say this prayer with us. You ready? Let us pray. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, you can head off to school. Friends, a rabbi that I know once told me that it is a sin not to give someone else a chance to do good when you have the power to do so. That rabbi told me that it is a sin not to give someone else the chance to do love, to show kindness, to extend mercy. And since this morning, I don't want to sin. I'm going to give you a chance to help others, a chance to show love, to do kindness. And it's going to come in the form of our offering. Each and every week, we take an offering that benefits the ministries of this church and our larger ministries of the world. It is one of many ways that each of us can give to do goodness, to love kindness, and to show mercy. Our offering will now be given and received.
Forever.
Loving God, in the waters of the Jordan, you acknowledge Jesus as your beloved Son. In his baptism, you opened up potential for all of us to live lives of grace. God, on this morning, we bring back these gifts to you, responding to your call on our lives to love justice, to do mercy, and to walk in humbleness with you. Bless these gifts and bless all who gave them, that we may be sources and symbols of your love in this world. Amen.
The Gospel reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 3, verses 15 through 16, verses 21 through 22, found on page 891 of your pew Bible. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one whom is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." May God bless the hearing of these words.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Sisters and brothers, will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you. Amen. Friends, in today's texts, we get two of the most stunning lines in all of Scripture. Through the great prophet Isaiah, we get in God's own voice this phrase, "You," meaning you, Chuck, meaning you, Lisa, meaning you, Ann, "You are precious in my sight, and I love you." And then God speaks again, this time in a voice from heaven, as the skies are torn apart and the dove descends. God says, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." At the heart of both of these passages is both the foundation and the pillar of our faith, God's love for us. Love. Love is a word we use countless times in worship and in our life together. A word I hope that each and every one of you hears dozens of times every day. A word that Jesus calls for us to embody with our whole lives. And yet, it is one of those words that we rarely talk about. We rarely talk about exactly what love means, how we know it, or why it matters. And that, I think, is a little bit too bad. Julian Barnes, a noted author, wrote a book that the Chicago Sun-Times called stunning. A flawless diamond, they said. The title of that book is A History of the World in 10 and a half chapters. Yep. Throughout that work, Julian explores both with humor and profundity how in the course of human existence, in both the grand scale of history and in the intimate details of our own stories, how trouble seems to worm its way into our lives, like a termite burrowing into a piece of wood. Sound familiar to anyone? But it is in that half of a chapter, entitled Parenthesis, and wedged between chapters 8 and 9, that Barnes writes about what he calls the single most important thing in the world. Something, he says, that absolutely is not necessary, but something without which the entire history of the world would be ridiculous. That something, he says, is love. Love is important, Barnes writes, not just because it makes us feel good, although it does. He writes that love is not so valuable just because it is fragile or precious, although it is. Barnes says that love is important for many reasons. Love helps us to be true to one another, he writes. Love comes with a moral duty, he says, to be real with one another. It intertwines our lives together, he says, and all that is good. But Barnes goes on to write clearly what love can and what love cannot do. He absolutely asserts that love cannot, on its own, make another person happy or fulfilled or whole. It's not what love does, he says. Instead, he says love provides a kind of protection. When you love somebody, when you look at somebody and say, "I love you," you offer a protection, a kind of assurance. He writes that it's a kind of shield for the one you love. Now, this shield does not prevent the troubles of the world from assailing you. Rather, it creates a safe space and releases in the other person the capacity to be happy, to be fulfilled, to be whole in the midst of all the things that life does and will throw at you. And friends, I believe that that is what God offers us in these two passages. Think back to that reading that Tom read from Isaiah. In that reading, God freely acknowledges that bad and tough things will happen in the midst of living. But here's what I want you to remember, and what God said through Isaiah. Because of God's love, when we walk through the raging currents of our life, as we certainly will, we will not be overwhelmed. God says that when we walk through fire, which is part and parcel of life, we will not be consumed. Love provides a protection, a shield that in the midst of the worst life can throw at us, we still have the chance to find happiness, fulfillment, and wholeness. It's the great gift of God, love. A gift that God says she is going to go to the ends of creation to provide, given to us that we might endure the waters and fires of this world. And friends, if that doesn't give you hope, I don't know what will. In our Luke text, there in the waters of the Jordan, we see another action of God's love, the baptism of Jesus. Now, there are many in this world who would vehemently argue that Jesus didn't need to be baptized, that he, the perfect, blameless, incarnate one, did not need to be purified or forgiven of anything. And that is true. And that is exactly the point. You see, I don't think for a moment that that is why Jesus came to John to be baptized. This baptism there in the Jordan was both a beginning and is still an invitation to us. You see, the baptism of Jesus radically transformed baptism as we know it. From John's actions that focused on repentance of sins and forgiveness, to God's action that draws us into and connects us irrevocably with the life, the death, and absolutely the resurrection of Jesus. This baptism of Jesus makes our own baptism an action that extends that shield over our lives for as long as we draw breath and then some. Not to prevent trouble from happening to us, but to ensure that we will never be alone in the midst of our troubles, whatever they might be. A shield that releases in us the capacity to be creatures of God, full of love and life-giving. Friends, immediately after this story of Jesus' baptism, do you know what happens? Immediately after this story, Luke tells us that Jesus was led out into the wilderness, where he was hungry, where he was thirsty, and where he was tempted by the devil himself. What got him through that time? What got him through that loneliness, hunger, and temptation was his baptism. And that voice coming from heaven, reminding him that he was the beloved of God. I think Jesus held on to that voice that came from the clouds. In my own mind, I see Jesus sitting there in the barren desert. And thanks to the baptism, I see a shield glowing gently around him that gave him the strength not to give in, instead to hold on in the midst of all this world could throw at him. It is the same thing that is offered to us in our own baptism. It is the reason why we, every single year, on the Sunday after Epiphany, read the story of Jesus' baptism. We hear the voice of God claim Jesus as beloved to celebrate that miracle and to remember that God offers that exact same love to you and to me. In the baptism of Jesus is the chance for us to remember our own baptism and the way it unites us with Jesus, the shield God grants to us, not to avoid the storms of life, but to weather them. Martin Luther, the great German reformer, certainly knew what it meant to be in the midst of pain and trouble in his life. And you know what got him through? Baptism. In the deepest moments of challenge, in his most troubling moments of doubt, Luther writes that he would recall his own baptism. He would sit quietly. He would make the sign of the cross on his forehead as he said these words, Baptus sum, I am baptized. In that simple act, he reminded himself of the shield that God gave him. Through baptism, a shield that covered him, that surrounded him in a gentle glow, enabling Luther not to give in with all the world was throwing at him, but hold on to the truth that he is God's beloved. To live into that capacity God dreamt for him, to be happy, fulfilled, and whole. To strive after goodness, mercy, and love. He writes that remembering he was God's beloved not only helped him through life's difficulties, it enabled him to extend love and compassion to those around him, just as it does for us today. Friends, I was baptized as an infant. I do not remember a single thing about my baptism. I do not remember the whisper of God's voice claiming me as beloved as the water dripped down my forehead. I do not remember the affirmation of the congregation taking me into their care. And that, I think, is also too bad. But on this day, I have the chance to remind myself of that baptism and what it means for me and for my life. I would imagine that most of us here in this room, that most of us have been baptized at one time or another in our lives. And I know for a fact that there are some in this room who have not yet had the chance to experience the sign and symbol of God's love. If you have not yet been baptized and want to talk about it, please come see me anytime, for it is a conversation I would love to have, whether you are 5 or whether you are 95. Friends, on this day, I invite you to listen for God's whisper of I love you in your own life. If you have been baptized, I invite you to remember it with me today. I hope that in your challenges in the days ahead that you will remember it and that you might even say, Baptus sum, I am baptized. And if you're bold, you can even make that sign of the cross on your forehead if you want, remembering that you are God's beloved and that with you, God is indeed pleased. On this day, with these two great passages, I pray you never forget that you are precious in God's sight and that God loves you, not for anything you have done or will ever do, but because you are God's beloved. And that, friends, is our good news. No, it is our great news for today. Amen.
Thank you.
Friends, you may be seated. As we do every week, we come together as one body, as one family, in prayer before our God. I invite you now here to share with us your joys and concerns so that we may pray them this morning and carry them with us this week. Are there joys and concerns? Yes, Tristan. Our hearts and prayers are for George Bush, our former president, that he may find renewed health. Yes. Your wife, Linda. Remind me of your name again. Kinney. And what is your brother's name, Kinney? Dennis. We keep Dennis in our prayers that the doctors may find out what is going on with him and that he may find health. And we keep both Linda and you in our prayers in celebration of your 29 years in marriage. Other joys and concerns. Yes. We pray for Donna Gray, who is with us this morning and who is hurting. Other joys and concerns. We keep David and Betsy in our prayers. Allison and Ed, we lift you up in our prayers. We lift up Pat and ask for healing and wholeness for her. We keep Ann Hutchinson's mom in our prayers as well. So in case, are there other joys and concerns? Yes, I'm sorry. Welcome. Well, welcome. We lift up Louisa, we lift up both your mom, and we lift up you in this time in hoping for healing. Friends, dear Allison is moving away to Florida. She is leaving this Friday, is that right? Sunday. She is leaving this coming Sunday. Allison, we give thanks for your time here among us. We pray Godspeed upon you as you take your journey and find a new life there, knowing that you are welcome back here anytime. As we enter this time of silence to hold all these prayers in our hands, I'm going to ask you to do something special that Allison may remember us as she goes. I will ask you to open your hymnals to 438 and let us sing of the great truth, "Blessed be the tie that binds." We will sing the first verse of that Allison may hear it in her head and in her heart all the way down to Florida.
My sweet.
Let us pray. Great and giving God, as Jesus prayed to you there in the Jordan, we come before you on this day, trusting that you already know what is on our hearts and minds, trusting that your Spirit, God, is going to descend upon us in the midst of our greatest joys and even our deepest sorrows. We pray this morning, God, for this church and for all who call this place home. We ask that your love and grace spark our lives with truth and joy. We ask that you find us here in this room and fill us with faith, hope, and love until we overflow to all the world around us. God, on this unseasonably warm day, we pray for the well-being of your creation. May your love and goodness remind us that you have called us to be stewards and caretakers of your creation, not the consumers of it. Send your Spirit among us, God, that we might think about your creation in the midst of all of our everyday choices and decisions. God, on this day we come with our hearts burdened. We come worried about those we love. God, on this day, we ask that your love and tenderness wrap all those we care about in loving care. We ask that you wrap Louisa and her mom, that you wrap Donna Gray, David and Betsy, Pat, Dennis, Anne Hutchinson, her mother, and George Bush in your loving care, that they may indeed walk through the fires that are before them without being consumed, and walk even through raging rivers without being overwhelmed. God, on this day we pray for the joy of your ongoing gifts. We pray for the way we find glimpses of your action in the world around us. We give you thanks for the open table, for the Women's Service League, and for prayer shawl knitters. May their acts of love bring comfort. We pray for Allison as she goes forth on a new journey, and for the health and wholeness of her husband, Ed. And today, God, we lift up Linda and Kinney in celebration of 29 years of love together. Oh God, you have made us. You have formed us. You have called us by name. Hear these our prayers, and we ask that you hold us today and every day in the palm of your hand, and let all who are gathered say, Amen. Friends, our time of worship here in this place is drawing to a close, that we might worship God in new ways out and beyond this place. As you go forth, I have just a couple of invitations for you. The first of those is that you stick around a little bit after worship, that you go right through those doors and you join us for a time of fellowship together where we can keep getting to know one another. My other invitation goes all the way to next week, that you might think about or consider wearing one of these name tags around your neck, so that if nothing else, I know you know each other, but it will help people like Kinney, it will help people like Louisa get to know us and learn our names. It is an act of hospitality, and I invite you to at least think about it. Friends, rise to your feet as you are able. Let us sing our closing hymn.
Oh,
Friends, go forth from this place in love. Go forth from this place in joy. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds with one another in Christ Jesus until we meet again. And let the whole church say, Amen.
Delicious.